Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
So let's read 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. Our Lord, if you did not get one of those, if you'll raise your hand, Miss Stephanie, you'll get one to you now. Verse number 3 says this, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now we looked at those four verses last Wednesday night, and began talking about this thought, Christian development, and growing as a Christian, growing as a lot of times people will say it this way, a new convert, somebody that's just got saved. But I say it past that, each and every one of us in our daily life should be striving to grow in the Lord. We should be wanting to know more about the Lord. And matter of fact, when you come to 2 Peter, the key theme of this book is spiritual knowledge and knowing more about the Lord. Now, we talked about a lot of things going into this, but I'm going to hit the highlights of these four verses real quick. There was the appetite, and we began to look at that and began to talk about how the Lord causes us to have an appetite for His Word. And I just want to say this to you just real quickly. As we think about it and we look at it, we should want to know more about the Lord. We should want to do more for Him. And we began to think about what all He had done for us, how He had blessed us, how He had been good to us, and what God has done for us. And I want to say something to you tonight. The Lord sure has been good to us. He has blessed us tremendously. He has helped us tremendously. And I want to stay in the center of His will. And in looking at that, we looked about this grace and peace. We looked about how we got that through the Lord Jesus Christ and several other things. Now, I want to look in verse 5, 6, 7, and 8 tonight and talk to you some more about growing in the Lord. Now, know what your Bible said in verse number 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. Now, let's back up to faith right there. Whenever you begin to think about faith, we go back to verse number 1. Simon Peter, and I just want to say something to you real quick in passing. In studying the Word of God, it is very important to study the Word of God in context. Amen. You say, preacher, what is context? In other words, what is the verses saying prior to that, and what is the verses saying after that? If we're not careful, we'll pick one verse of Scripture, look at that one verse of Scripture, and we'll have a false assumption of what that verse of Scripture means. Somebody give me an amen right there. You know what we'll do? We'll take that one verse and we'll try to make that one verse twist into something that it is nowhere close to that. So study the Word of God in context and read it all over and over. And Miss Kayla, Miss Leslie, and I was talking today about studying the Word of God. And one thing that I told Miss Kayla was this: whenever I read a passage, I read it over and over and over. Over before I pick up a commentary, before I look at the notes in my Bible, before I pull out another study Bible and look, I read it over and over and over again. And here's what I do. While I'm reading that, I pray, God, will you give me understanding of this? Because every note in your Bible and every commentator that you pick up is nothing more than man's opinion of that Bible. Are you hearing me? You got to be careful reading commentaries, and you got to be careful reading footnotes in study Bibles. Now, I've got a study Bible in my hand. I've got several of them. But let God speak to your heart, and God enlighten your heart on the Word of God, and He'll help you with that. So study it in context. So in context, he says faith. We go back to verse number 1, and that's where it all starts at. What did he say? He said, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Where did our Christian walk with God start with? It all started with faith. That's where every bit of it started at. It started with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The day that we prayed and asked God to forgive us of our sins and God to come into our heart and save us, you know what we was doing? At that moment, we was exercising faith. In other words, one said it this way, forsake all, I trust Him. And that's what we was doing. Our Christian walk starts with faith, and it must continue with faith. You say, what do you mean by that? It's not that we have to continually exercise faith in the Lord to keep our salvation. We don't keep our salvation. It's kept by the Holy Ghost and sealed unto the day of redemption according to the Word of God. But here's what I'm saying on that is this right here. A lot of people, the only time that they ever exercise faith is the day that they got saved. But we should continually have faith in God and trust God. So here's what he says in verse number 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. He said that we is to add to that. Now, as I began studying this, and I want to do a word study tonight. That's what I'm going to do as we walk down through here. The first word that I want to look at is this. And besides this, giving all diligence. That little word diligence right there. Whenever I can, and I love to do word studies. I love to see the meaning of them. I love to, I go to an 1828 Webster's Dictionary. And you say, why do you go there? Well, a lot of times in 1828 Webster's Dictionary, he'll give you scripture references to go along with that definition. But I not only use it, I use Blue Letter Bible. If you're not using Blue Letter Bible, man, you're missing out on studying your Bible. It's a free app. It's free on the internet. And it's wonderful, man. It's wonderful. So every definition that you see tonight either come out of an 1828 or it came out of the Blue Letter Bible. Let's look at this first one, the word diligence. He said, and besides this, giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. That word diligence means this. A steady application in business of any kind. Constant effort to accomplish what is undertaken. Now think about that. Constant effort to accomplish what is undertaken. Now I began to think about that. And as I began to think about that, that constant effort to accomplish what is undertaken. You know what happened the day that you got saved? The day that you got saved, our old man was supposed to have died to sin. But you know what happens each and every day? That old man sticks his head back up again. That old man sticks his head back up again. I was talking to somebody today, I don't even remember who it was. It may have been Brother Ryan. It was Brother Ryan or Brother David Williams, one of the two. It may have been Brother Rodney. I can't remember. It was somebody today I was talking to, and they said this. I don't need to say what I'm thinking. You know what they were saying? They were saying this. I'm trying my best to let the old man be dead and the new man live the life that he's supposed to. You know what he said? Giving all diligence. You know what he's saying? Constant effort to accomplish what is undertaken. Constant effort. Your spiritual growth is constant. Your spiritual growth is constant. You know what? These babies, and boy, we've got them now, don't we? Praise God. But these babies, you know what they have to do? They have to eat just about constantly. Some of these big boys sitting around here, you know what they have to do? They have to eat just about constantly. It's a constant undertaking, amen? But think about this. Our spiritual walk with God, giving all diligence, a constant effort to accomplish what is done. Due attention. Due attention, that's what it means. we give attention to adding to our faith. Now let's look at the next word. He said, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now what's next? Virtue. Add to your faith virtue. This is not works for salvation, but can I say it this way? It is works after salvation. Or can I just say it that way? I don't work to be saved. I'm already saved. But now that I am saved, there should be a desire in my heart to draw closer to God, to be more like God. He said, add to your faith, given the attention that is needed, add to your faith, watch this one, virtue. Well, what is virtue? It's moral goodness. Any particular moral excellence as, what about that? Modesty or purity? Modesty or purity? Now, I'm going to ask you a question tonight. How is your purity with the Lord? Now, you know, the first thing that we think about when we hear the word purity, we think, or the first thing that goes through my mind is young people keeping themselves pure for their husband or for their wife. But can I say something? It's more than that. It's us keeping ourselves pure for the Lord. And what does he say to us? Here's what he's saying to us. Now that you're saved, you need to give all diligence. You need to give the proper attention. You need to try your best to have a constant effort to accomplish having virtue in your life. Moral goodness. I want to say something to you. Your testimony matters. Can I say that again? Your testimony matters. I've heard people say this, well, I just don't give a rip what they think about me. I've heard preachers say that. Well, time out a minute. I do care what people think about me. I do. I do care if people think that I'm a good person and if I'm trying my best to live for it. I do care what people think. And you know what he's saying here? Now that you're saved, now that faith has been applied to your life, you need to have moral goodness. You need to have modesty. You need to be pure. So he says virtue. Now, let's read on. And to virtue, knowledge. And to virtue, knowledge. I want to say something to you, and I don't mean this disrespectfully. I'm not trying to be rude or arrogant. But there is no excuse in our day for not knowing more about the Word of God. We can listen to it. If you can't read good, all you got to do is listen to it today. There is so many podcasts today. And some of them is nothing but a bunch of junk that's supposed to be Christian podcasts. But there is some good, solid, fundamental podcasts that you can listen to that will help you along the way. And what did he say? He said you need to add knowledge, a clear and certain perception of that which exists or of truth and fact. It is learning. It is illumination of the mind. We're to have knowledge. We're to be learning the Word of God. I want to say something to you. Let me tell you one way to learn it. Read it. The reason a lot of people don't know nothing about it is because they never pick it up to read it. You say, preacher, I just struggle to read. Listen to it. Listen to it. You know what? You can listen to the Word of God. And you say, well, somebody's voice. Man, I just got to have something more than somebody's voice. Get Bible Is. It's a free app. Listen to Bible Is, and you can put music behind it. You can listen to it dramatized where all of their voices changes. And when he gets over there in the New Testament and he goes to talking about that Gadarean maniac, and those demons go to screaming in the background, Brother Josh, I turned it off and went back to Alexander Scorby. Man, I'll listen to the monotone for I Will Demons in the Background. I mean, has anybody else ever heard that on Bible Is? Yeah, there's a few of you knows exactly what I'm talking about. But man, we can get a knowledge of the Word of God. There's no excuse for us not knowing more about the Bible today. I thought about this. You need to have a knowledge of the Word of God. But you need to have a knowledge of the will of God. What is the will of God for your life? Let me tell you how to find it right here in His book. We'll find it out of the Word of God. You need to have a knowledge of the work of God. How does the church operate? How does everything go? Well, I don't know. Well, ask somebody. Are you with me tonight? He said that we're to add, we're to give that due attention. We're to have a constant effort to accomplish what is undertaken. Well, what is it? It's knowledge. He said, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. But then he said this one, and to knowledge, temperance. That word temperance, very simply put, is this: self-control. Self-control. In other words, when you're like Olivia and you want to blow the horn at somebody, she said, Daddy, blow the horn at them. I guess she's rode with Brother Randy before or something. I don't know. I guess she gets it from her Pawpaw Barker's where she gets it from. Self-control. Self-control. I found myself in a little situation over the past few weeks, and there's two or three times that I just looked at my wife and I said, well, I'll tell you exactly what I'm going to do. And she said, now, would that be the right thing to do? Doggone right, it'd be the right thing to do. In my flesh. In my flesh. Learning to control ourselves. I hope that you're here Sunday, because if the Lord doesn't change my mind, I'm going to preach on this. The funeral for your flesh. I am crucified with Christ. The funeral, I'm going to preach on it Sunday morning, Sunday night both, if God doesn't change my mind. The funeral for your flesh. Now, I'm going to tell you something today. We've got to learn self-control. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and it's one that I listen to. I've listened to every episode that they've ever done. There's a new one just dropped yesterday, and tomorrow I'll listen to it. But it's four different preachers, and it's very interesting because all four of them are good fundamental guys, but all four of them has different views sometimes. Like one of them has a very strict view of having a projector or TVs in a church. He's completely against it. Have you listened to that one? Evidently you hadn't, because you'd have caught your attention when I said that. But he's got a very strict view of that. The other ones didn't, and it's very interesting because all four of them are good Christian fundamental guys, but they bring a lot to the table. And they was talking about this. They was talking about conversations on social media last week. I was listening to it going up the road, and I got to listening to it. And I listened to the whole podcast. But some of the things that they said, just it kindly irked me, because they said, I just feel that I must react to that comment and say something back to it. And here's my thing. Why do we need to have an argument on social media as Christians for all the world to say, well, you know what? There's a group of Baptists that's not getting along again. I listened to a lady today talk about church hurt, and I understand where she was coming from. I completely understood it. But my mind went back to that. There's people like that that's not in church today, that's probably saved people that loves the Lord, but they're not in church today because of some ignorance talking about things. Self-control. Learn how. He said, add to your faith, giving all diligence, the due attention that it needs. We need to learn how every once in a while just to stop. You know, some people are going to have the last word. They're going to have the last word. Every once in a while, somebody will send me a text, and Miss Leslie will be in the car with me, and my truck's got Apple Play in it, so it'll read the text out to me, Brother Brian, and it'll just be a statement. Well, after it reads it, I won't say nothing. You know, we'll just be going up the road, and Leslie will look over at me and be like, you're not going to respond to that? No. They didn't. There was not a question. It was a statement. So, no, I'm not going to respond to it. But don't you think it'd be right to respond to that one? No, I'm not going to respond to that. It don't need a response, Brother Matt. If Brother Matt says, preacher, Mandy's in a bad mood today, I'm not going to respond to it. I get those quite often from him. I'm not going to respond to it. Now, some people has to have the last word. You ever texted somebody, hope you, they send you something like this, hope you're having a good day. Well, to a certain extent, that's a question. I sure am. Well, I am too. Good. Yeah, it's been a great day. Awesome. Yeah, it's wonderful. They're going to have the last text, man. And you know, sometimes it's that way in our flesh. Somebody says something and, you know, Brother Jim, my first reaction is just say something right back to them. To come right back on them. But you know what he said that we're supposed to do as we grow as Christians? We're to add to our faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and to knowledge what? Temperance. Self-control. Learning how just sometimes to turn around and walk off. And can I say something to you? I don't mean it's ugly, but when you're right and you've done nothing wrong, you don't have to defend yourself. When somebody immediately goes on the defense, when I ask somebody something and bam, they go on the defense, you know what it says to me? They've already given me the answer. Learning self-control. Just knock it down a notch. Watch this. Let's read on. Aren't we having a good time tonight? He said, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. And to temperance patience. Now, when I read that, my mind just went to sitting still. Be still and know that I am the Lord. But when I began to study this word patience out in Blue Letter Bible, I found it very interesting. Here's one of the things, steadfastness, constancy, and endurance is what that meant. Steadfastness, constancy, and endurance. I thought about this verse, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That word constancy right there, here's what it means. It means, I wish that bee would go somewhere else. That's not what that means, but he's really detouring my mind right now. Fixedness. I'm fixed on that bee, not the word of God right now. Here's what it means. Fixedness. A standing firm. Hence applied to God and His work. Steady, unshaken, determination. Let me tell you the reason so many people quit in the service of the Lord, Brother Ramsey, is because they don't have this patience that Peter's telling us that we need right here. Where is those people that'll just, as the old timers would say it, would just bog in and say, you know what? I'm not going nowhere. I'm not allowing the tide of this world to pull me out. I'm not allowing the mouth of others to pull me out. I'm just going to be steady. I'm just going to stay with it. I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to be unmovable. I'm going to be fixed. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to stay in God's work and stay steady in that. I've heard some people say this, I would rather burn out than rust out. But here's what I say to that statement. Either way, you're out. Either way, you're out. So why can't we just find the steadiness to stay in? I don't want to burn out and I don't want to rust out. I don't want to go out. I want to stay steady in the work of the Lord. Think about this, patience. Then he says to our patience, godliness. Godliness. Here's what that word means. A careful observance of the laws of God and performances of religious duties. He goes on to say, proceeding from love and reverence for the divine character and commands. Christian obedience. Christian obedience. Christian obedience. Whenever I read that, I thought about a song that says this: obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands and doing happily, that's it. You're on, hey, Haley's with me tonight, and doing it happily. And it goes on to say this: O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. The reason I learned the song was because when I was a kid in school, that was one of my spelling words, and I knew I would get that one right. O-B-E-D. I can't ever even write or type obedience now without singing the song. O-B-E-D-I-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. You know what he's saying right here? Godliness is just simply being obedient to Christ. Simply being obedient to Him. Simply being obedient to Him. Those times when the Lord says, you know what, man? A track is such a great way to witness. We've got several of them. That's that new one that Macedonia just put out. Coronavirus is their hope. Man, that's something. You leave that laying in a beer carton in Walmart today, and I bet they'll read it. What a way. You know that person that you just don't know how to tell them about the Lord? You just don't. Can I just give you something to read? When you go through that drive-thru and they hand you your food, hey, while you're on your break, I always say that. When you go take a break, will you read this right here? Obedience. It's just doing godliness is doing what God has taught us to do. Watch this. Here's another one. If you're reading through your Bible, you know we're about done. But look what he says. And the godliness, what's next? Brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. That word means this. It's a love of brothers or sisters. Brotherly love. In the New Testament, the love which Christians cherish for each other as brethren. It's a love for our brothers and sisters. A love for our brothers and sisters. Brotherly kindness. The Fundamental Independent Baptist is the world's worst at killing each other with friendly fire. They're the world's worst. When something happens, well, you know what? I knew Bailey would never stay in church. I knew he'd mess up one day. I knew that. Well, I tell you right now, I knew Addie would go off a deep end and go crazy one day. Look at who her mama is. And instead of saying, hey, Bailey, man, I sure do love you. Bailey, I'm flesh myself. I'm not justifying what you've done. It's wrong according to the Word of God. And Bailey hadn't done nothing, okay? I'm just using him for an example. According to the Word of God, it's wrong, but I want you to know I love you. And I want you to know there's a God that loves you, and there's a God that'll forgive you. Hey, look up in here, and if we ever get to the place that we look down our nose at somebody that messes up, that comes to our church, then it's time for us to do a very, very strong spiritual checkup, because you're the one that's in trouble, not them. You know, let me tell you who the biggest prodigal was in the Bible? The prodigal's brother. We always want to preach on the prodigal son. Not many people, I have before, but not many people you ever hear preach on the prodigal's brother. He was the biggest prodigal. He couldn't accept forgiveness that had been shown to his family. And let me tell you what brotherly love is and brotherly kindness is. It's loving each other. There's times that you have disagreements. Me and Brother Roberts had disagreements, but we're still serving the Lord together. Me and Brother Josh has had disagreements, but we're still serving the Lord together. Me and Brother Rodney had a major disagreement one time. I'm not lying. I'm talking about a major disagreement that he drove to my house in the middle of the night. And I was mad. I'm telling you, I was in the flesh mad. And he'll tell you that. And he just kept saying, preacher, if you just preacher, and it wasn't, the preacher wasn't home, Jonathan was. Is anybody else hearing me? The preacher, he had left the building, Brother Ramsey. He was nowhere around. It was Jonathan at home. And to make a long story short, within about 12 or 13 hours, wasn't it, Brother Rodney? It probably wasn't even 12 or 13 hours. All of it played out, and I understood it. It wasn't Brother Rodney's fault. I'm the first to admit it was my fault. I overreacted to a situation that I ended up getting a truck out of. I tell you what it was. He was sending a text to Brother Matt, but sent it to me picking about my daddy being a liar. Because daddy had told me a story about the first truck that the church bought me, that white Ford truck. And they was laughing because Brian Cardwell and my daddy had told me a lie, practically, about that truck. And Brother Rodney was sending a text to Brother Matt about daddy laughing, and daddy knew about it, but I didn't. And when he said something about my daddy being a liar, I'm just going to tell you right now, I lost it. Brother Rodney, come in over there. I tell you right now, if we'd have had a pack of pale mails, we'd have went through them between the two of us probably in about 30 seconds. We was both. Rodney was trying to explain. They wouldn't know. I was done mad. But once it all calmed down, Brother Rodney's still a deacon at the church. I'm still the pastor here. We're still serving the Lord together. Brotherly kindness. He said, you're going to have to add that to your faith. Let me tell you the reason he said to add that to your faith. Let me tell you the reason he told us that. Here's the reason why. Because our human nature holds grudges. Our human nature holds grudges. And it don't matter what anybody says to us, our human nature won't believe it. It won't believe, Brother Bailey, you took that the wrong way. Bless God, I didn't take it the wrong way. You did, Brother Bailey. No, I didn't. I don't know what else to tell you, but you did. No, I didn't. That's our human nature. And he said, once you're saved, you're going to have to add to that human nature brotherly kindness. You're going to have to add to that love and that forgiveness. Let's look at this. Brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, what did he say? Charity. In a general sense, love, benevolence, goodwill. That disposition of a heart which inclines men to think favorable of their fellow man and to do them good. In a theological sense, it includes supreme love to God and universal goodwill to men. You see, that brotherly kindness followed up with this charity right here is forgiveness, and that you stay in the same ministry and keep serving God together. Now look what he says, and I'm done. Come start playing, Miss Tanya. Give them some hope. Verse number 8. For if these things be in you, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read you the verse again. For if these things be in you, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that what your Bible says? If you got a King James, it didn't. Here's what it said. For if these things be in you and abound. And abound. Look at this word abound. To exist in abundance. To increase. It's not just that you have all these things in you today. Hello, Tokyo. But that they abound. And look at this, they increase. So in other words, if you've been saved any length of time, your virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity should be greater today than they was the day you got saved. He said they in you and abound, they make you that you shall be, look what he said, that you shall not be what? Barren nor unfruitful. What he says, I want to read it right. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever I read that, the first thing that went to my mind, barren and unfruitful is practically the same thing. That's when you got to study the Word of God. Barren right here means this. lazy, shunning the labor which one ought to perform. When these are in you and abound, you know what it does? It makes you not be lazy and shunning that which you ought to perform. In other words, when you have the brotherly kindness like you're supposed to and you're adding to it daily, when you need to exercise brotherly kindness, it's there. You're not lazy in doing that. You ever seen somebody just flies off the handle that fast? They're lazy in doing. Everybody okay? I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. They're lazy in doing this right here. You ever seen somebody couldn't keep their mouth shut? If you ask them, they never gossip, but they know everything about everybody and any kind of gossip there is to know. But they never gossip. I've never figured that one out. Because if you listen, you gossip. Let me tell you what's happening. They're lazy. They're barren. They're lazy. It says that you neither be barren, now watch this, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word unfruitful means this: without fruit, barren, not yielding what it ought to yield. What kind of fruit are you bearing tonight? What kind of fruit are you bearing tonight? If we was to go ask all of your co-workers what your relationship with Christ is like, what would they say? What kind of fruit? So, preacher, I don't want to be unfruitful. You know what he says? Add to your faith knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord. And then he says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know what he is? He's a backslider. That's what he is. He's a backslider. Said, preacher, I want to grow. Right there's your prescription for growing. Add to your faith. What I need to add to it? He just told us right there. How's your spiritual assessment? I don't know about you, but when I went through all of this today, I thought, I need some help. Can I be real with you? You'll never get help until you realize you need it. You'll never grow in God until you realize you need to. To preach, how do I know if I need to? Any of that speak to you tonight? Then we need to grow in the Lord.